Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. From crime rates to downtown development, the candidates in the Columbus mayor's race disagree on many issues. Incumbent Democrat Michael Coleman is seeking his fourth term, this time facing Republican challenger Earl Smith, retired city police officer. Before we get to them, we wanted to review the race and the issues with Columbus Dispatch reporter Doug Caruso. Welcome back, Doug.
Thanks, Ann.
So I'll say it. This doesn't seem like much of a barn burner. What are we talking about here in terms of historical perspective on the mayor's race?
Well, you're talking about a mayor who has three terms under his belt right now. He's won every one of his races by at least 20 points. You had 1999 when he faced Dorothy Teeter, well-known former city councilwoman and county commissioner, who was pretty well-funded at that time. He was the city council president, so he wasn't the incumbent mayor. This is after Greg Lashuka ended his last term. And he won by 20 points. He, you know, pretty much just destroyed her. The next cycle was 2003. The Republicans didn't even get an opponent on the ballot.
I was going to say, wait a minute, I don't remember that race.
You don't remember that race because there wasn't one.
That's right.
They did not manage to get a candidate on the ballot. They tried to put a placeholder on, and he couldn't even gather enough signatures. And Coleman pretty much walked through. There might have been a write-in who got a couple percent, you know, and he had, you know, something like 98%. It was a complete bloodbath. In 2007, he went up against Bill Todd, who ran a fairly angry campaign trying to pitch, you know, paint the city as, you know, crime-ridden, you know, on the road to ruin, pretty much, and won by something like 40 points. So yeah, it was like 70-30, you know, was the final tally. So, he's been a very strong campaigner. He tends to win. Right now, he's, as of the last campaign finance reports, Coleman had something like $750,000 in his account. I'm sure he spent quite a bit of that on some of that on TV at this point. Earl Smith, by contrast, had something like $3,500. Which is less than one half of 1% the money that Mike Coleman had. So, I mean, it's a very uphill battle for Earl Smith.
Well, when Earl left the when he went to his first Franklin County Republican Central Committee meeting last winter, I guess January, they dubbed him the next mayor of Columbus. Where's their support?
You know, we'll see. The next reports come out tomorrow. We'll see if the Republican Party has thrown anything his way. My sense is that they have not, that they don't, that they're probably concentrating on their council candidates who may have a better chance at this point. I've heard from Earl directly that he's having trouble raising money from, you know, the business community because they're all giving it to Mike Coleman and they don't want to support him. Because they know which way things are going to go. He put out something on his Facebook page a couple weeks ago saying, you know, look, TV is probably not going to be an option for me. We just simply can't raise the money. And please tell your friends to vote for me. You know, he's going for a word of mouth. So, I mean, he really has a tough road to hoe here.
My guest is City Hall reporter for the Columbus Dispatch, Doug Caruso. If you have a question or comment for Doug, give us a call, 614-292-8513. Or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Doug's just going to be with us for about another 10 minutes. So if you have a question or comment for him, make sure you make the call or send the email right away so we can get it on the air. 614-292-8513 is the number to call. Any thoughts about what else the mayor might be eyeing in his political future?
We asked a question on our – we have a our online voter guide, one of the questions was, you know, will you serve out your four terms? And Coleman answered with one word, and it was yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he has said over and over again in the last several years that he does not want a higher office, that he loves being mayor, that this is the office for him. He had kind of a bad experience running for governor and lieutenant governor over the last couple of years. I don't think he liked the statewide races and traveling around. And, you know, he said as much that he didn't enjoy it. He didn't think it was any fun. It did make him into a better campaigner, you know, on the mayoral races. But, you know, he hasn't shown any ambition toward, you know, state or federal office in the last couple of years. I really haven't seen it.
What about that new congressional district?
The new congressional.
Pretty much the same size as his mayoral district.
Yeah, I haven't heard his name for that, though. I mean, originally, right when that happened, somebody tossed his name out there, and it got out, you know, on the first things, and immediately they were kind of backtracking, you know, saying no, we're not interested in that. We don't want to do that. And then other names started kind of coming out. So I don't get a sense that Coleman wants to do that. I mean, in fact, I'm not sure why he'd want to be a minority, you know, in the minority in Congress when he can be running a big city. You know, I mean, there's a big power difference there.
Let's talk about the logistics of Republicans versus Democrats in the city of Columbus. Republicans, as you mentioned earlier, consistently not putting any effort towards the mayoral races, at least since Dorothy Teeter. It's been so consistently pro-Democrat now. Who's even out there?
Well, the numbers of registered Republican voters have dropped considerably in the last decade or so. In the city of Columbus, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. It might be 2-1, something like that. But the vast majority of people in the city are not affiliated, but they tend to vote Democratic, as you've seen in presidential elections and other elections. They definitely, Republicans start out at a disadvantage. And then you add into that fact right now that you have the Senate Bill 5 vote on issue 2 on the ballot. And that, especially in a Democratic leaning city, is going to probably drive that vote up. You know, they're going to be out there for issue 2, and then they're going to support their candidates. You know, it's likely to help the Democrats more than it's helping the Republicans.
Well, speaking of issue 2, both of the candidates oppose issue 2.
Yes, they do.
So what don't they agree on?
They don't agree on the arena. Earl Smith recently said that he thinks that the casino money that the city is getting and is planning to spend on buying and operating Nationwide Arena should be spent in the neighborhoods. Mike Coleman says that it's a necessary expenditure in order to protect jobs in the arena district and to keep the arena's tenant, the Blue Jackets, in town and keep that district strong. So they disagree on that, although they didn't always disagree on that. They originally, when this deal first came out, Earl Smith said that he supported it, but he thought everybody should have a vote on it. He said that over the next couple weeks after he looked at it, he decided that actually he did not support it. He thought that the money should be better spent in the neighborhood.
614-292-8513 is the number to call. And by the way, coming up next, we have Republican candidate for Columbus Mayor Earl Smith on deck. And then after that, the incumbent mayor, Mike Coleman, Democrat, will be joining us in the third segment of the program. So if you have questions or comments for them, you can start emailing them in at allsides@wosu.org. Also, you can call us at 614-292-8513. Just make sure that you let us know if you are for or against one or the other candidate. Maybe you're an independent, Republican, Democrat, whatever it is. Let our screener know in advance. So the casino, there's also the issue of crime.
Yeah, this came up. This was a big thing that Bill Todd went after 4 years ago, and Earl Smith's doing somewhat the same thing, though probably not with as much of an edge as Bill Todd had. There's some disagreement about just how safe or unsafe the city is. I mean, we've seen declining crime rates throughout Coleman's tenure, but that sort of mirrors national trends. So, you know, it's hard to tell exactly what to attribute all that to. Smith is highlighting pockets of the city where there is serious crime, portions of the Near East Side, portions of the Hilltop area, portions of the South Side. I mean, there are neighborhoods that certainly don't feel like they're safe, and he's pointing those out. Coleman, says, yeah, of course, you know, one murder is too many, and we really need to keep working on this. So there's sort of the, you know, if you're not the incumbent, you need to you need to say, hey, things aren't as good as the incumbent says it is, and that's what's happening here.
Mark in Akron, you're on the air. You support Michael Coleman for mayor?
I do, although I think Earl, yes, by the way, thank you, Ann. Wonderful show you usually have. Thank you, Ann and Doug, for your time today. Even though I think Earl Smith is a wonderful person, I remember him as the spokesman, I think, during the crazy shooter times. And I think he's been an eloquent spokesperson, a very good spokesperson for the Franklin County Sheriff's Department. But I think Mayor Coleman has done a fantastic job as mayor. I know there's that whole argument about some of the deterioration in the neighborhood areas, and maybe there's some aspect of that. But we have one of the finest-looking downtowns in the country. I travel a lot in my job and also particularly just because I have family in other cities. And if you've looked at that skyline in downtown Columbus and compared that to a lot of other cities in our country right now, it's extremely impressive, especially if you cross Main Street going west across Main Street. And I guess my question for both of you is, I think, could Mayor Coleman be possibly convinced to run, even despite what Doug said about his hesitations, could he be asked to run for governor? We need a new governor. We need leadership of somebody who's run a city. The big cities, Voinovich was like this with Cleveland. The governors who come from big cities, run big cities, understand the issues, even the rural issues.
Well,
I'm surprised he hasn't been tapped by the Obama administration to be with something with HUD or commerce, and I'll either stay on or get off the line.
Well, that's okay, Mark. Thanks for your call. We appreciate it. Are you traveling? Oh, I guess we lost him. What about that? I mean, what about what he wants is one thing, Doug Caruso, but what about what the party wants and needs, for instance, in terms of getting a candidate that can win?
I don't know. I know that Coleman's public pronouncements have been very clear that he doesn't want to seek higher office at this point. But you never say never, obviously, and so who knows what he might do in the future. You would be looking at the governor's race is going to be midterm for him. He also has said that he would serve out his entire, he did say he would serve out the entire 4 years of his term. Politicians have said that before and then not done it too. So, who knows? I mean, you also hear that, Ted Strickland might want to take another crack at it. You hear all kinds of things.
Yeah.
There were rumors like crazy that, when Obama was elected that Mike Coleman was going to get an ambassadorship or he was going to get, an undersecretary position in, one of the departments, and that never materialized either. So, people can guess about all these things. What I have to go on right now, that Mike Coleman has said he's going to serve the next 4 years and that he doesn't want a higher office, which he's saying over and over again.
Ed in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Edward Concepcion. Yes, I've been here in Columbus, Ohio since 98, and I think we should take care of highway traffic control and management. I've been calling Mayor Mike Coleman and Strickland with no avail to give Ohioans freedom of driving in the morning and evening from work and to home.
How much of how much does transportation play into the race this year?
I haven't heard it come up as an issue very much. I mean, there has been, early on, the city announced a big street resurfacing program, one of the biggest they've ever done, immediately jumped on by Smith and other Republicans as, this is election year, a big election year handout to get votes. There was some of that. In terms of traffic, I mean commuting traffic and the freeways, ODOT controls an awful lot of that,
right.
And the city has a say, and they work together. I haven't really heard anybody saying, Earl Smith hasn't made any promises about highways or commuting, and I haven't really heard much out of the Coleman administration about it recently either.
Ed, thanks for that call. We appreciate it. Doug Caruso, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Doug Caruso, City Hall reporter for the Columbus Dispatch. Coming up, Earl Smith. He's the Republican candidate for Columbus mayor. Stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
We Weekday mornings, prepare for the day with NPR's Steve Inskeep and Renee Montaigne, and hear local news updates from the award-winning WOSU News Team. Listen to Morning Edition weekdays from 5 until 9 a.m. on 89.7 NPR News.
And this is 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us. 59 degrees in downtown Columbus with rain off and on today, a high of 67. Showers are likely for tonight, a low of 46 degrees. More rain for Thursday and a high of 49.
Support for 89.7 comes from the College of the Arts and Sciences and OSU Theater, presenting Living Out, a witty drama exploring the challenges faced by today's working mother, October 27th through November 6th at the Rife Center. Tickets and details at 292-2295.
All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We are devoting this hour to the Columbus mayor's race. Last January, Earl Smith was attending his first Franklin County Republican Central Committee meeting, where they dubbed him the next mayor of Columbus. They do that at those kinds of meetings. So far, he's still the Republican candidate for mayor of Columbus. Earl Smith is a retired sergeant who was the police division spokesman in the late 1990s and early 2000s when we became acquainted. Yes. He started a security consulting business after retiring last year after 32 years in law enforcement. He's with us now to talk about his race against incumbent Mike Coleman. Welcome to the show, Earl.
Well, thank you. Good to be here.
So let's just kick it off. This is radio. We have sound. Mayor Mike Coleman is very clear about his position on concealed carry laws. Let's listen to him.
I do not support concealed weapons in bars. I do not support concealed weapons in our green spaces, in our parks.
You said you're open to discussing the law. What, from your experience in the police force, makes you see the concealed carry law as a gray issue? Where do you stand on that?
Well, purely from a practical standpoint and over three decades of firsthand experience and observation, the reality is that criminals, by definition, unfortunately, violate the laws. And the assumption is they're carrying guns. And usually, unfortunately, that's been the case. The reality is that the violators violate the law knowingly, deliberately, on a regular basis, and every law enforcement officer knows that. When the CCW issue first came to light, I was still doing the spokesperson role, and somebody asked me, so what do you think is going to happen? And I said, frankly, very little. I don't think you're going to see an increase in crime, which has been statistically the case across the country. And frankly, you didn't see a huge drop in crime due to people defending themselves. Part of it certainly psychological, but frankly, I've never had a huge issue with law-abiding citizens being my problem. That's just hasn't been the case. Typically, our issues from a safety standpoint, from everything else, results from people who are already committing criminal acts.
What about the idea of enforcing it, though? What about people? They say that you're not supposed to drink if you go into a bar with a concealed weapon. How is that supposed to be enforced?
Well, I mean, practically speaking, unless you do something that would draw attention to yourself, arrested, for instance, for DUI or 100 other things, I would suggest that anyone who does that and who is a person without a criminal record is going to be very unhappy about the consequence. The consequences are serious, and they need to be because that's part of what the law provides. And I think, we are frustrated with violence. We're frustrated with the attitudes that make violence appear to be acceptable in our society. And we target objects because of our inability to target causation. You know, everything from societal issues to parenting issues. There are so many challenges for young people coming up today. One of the things I've said many times and I observed firsthand, we have an awful lot of non-parenting parents. And young people aren't getting the guidelines and unfortunately turn to television and some of these programs, they turn to entertainment. And sometimes the message that is sent is that everything's okay as long as it's only about you. And, you know, violence certainly has never been more endemic and more almost tolerated. And I think that's a horrible message. And those are some of the things we're going to have to impact if we long-term really wish to see a drop in violent crimes and violence.
The Capitol Square Review and Advisory Board has already banned concealed weapons in the State House, mm-hmm. or any weapons. Mm-hmm. They also have now voted to do the same for State House grounds, mm-hmm. On the outside. How do you feel about that? Some people are saying it's hypocritical. What is your feeling about that?
Well, and I think I would understand where that argument came from.
The hypocritical argument?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I think, in fairness, you know, I understand where that argument is coming from, where the discussion is coming from. But of course, they do have the same right that businesses and others do to say, you know, we don't want you to have a concealed firearm legally in our business. And I think that is the right of the individual organization. So it's, you know, it's easy to make it, and understandably, a very, very politically charged and emotional issue, because we are all frightened of what's going on in society all too often. Unfortunately, most things, as much as I wish were otherwise, are not simply black and white issues. There's a lot of challenges we're going to have the courage to address.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Earl Smith. He's a Republican candidate for Columbus mayor. If you have a question or comment for Earl Smith, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. He'll only be with us for about another 13 minutes, though, so don't wait if you have a question or comment for Earl Smith, 614-292-8513. The future of the Blue Jackets is a very big topic in mm-hmm. the city and in this election. Here, you and Mayor Coleman have very different positions after witnessing City Center and the Lazarus Building leave down. Well, Lazarus Building's still there. It's mm-hmm. just reconstituted. Sure. But City Center certainly isn't. Mayor Coleman, anyway, supports public ownership of Nationwide Arena. Let's listen to him.
To imagine years from now that the arena would be one of those. This community would be asking us, you had a chance to fix that, why didn't you?
So Mike Coleman says that without Nationwide, 10,000 jobs would be lost. You've said you've supported the plan, in essence, in the past. What's changed now? Because,
well,
you certainly don't know.
As Doug had mentioned in the first segment, from the beginning I said, you know, clearly I love the Arena District. You know, I like having the Blue Jackets here. However, I have a concern with circumventing the voters in regard to redirecting what, in fact, is their tax money. The revenue from the casino deals, number one, we're talking about anticipated revenue on a structure that hasn't even been built in one of the worst economic times in recent memory, and even as we're adding additional casinos statewide. So we have a lot of variables there that all are assuming the best possible consequence. I'm not a believer much in luck and things happening as well as we might hope. I think we have to plan for it. So I think we agree in regard to the value of the arena and the Blue Jackets. However, when I started researching independent papers from professors of economics, business professors, and others from across the United States consistently, virtually without any exception, those that have no direct vested interest say that the cities typically never recover their investment, that contrary to what is the worst case scenario that's been described, and I understand, again, the mayor's perspective, that even if, in fact, the arena literally ceases operation, which is highly unlikely, quite frankly, that the net economic impact of the cities is generally negligible, or literally there is no change. And some of the examples they shared with me, that, for instance, people going out for the night are still going to go out for the night. Now, they may or may not redirect. And I would also suggest that a lot of the people that have started to move toward that area, gravitate toward that area, they're not attending Blue Jackets games. The arena, sadly, is – this is why we're having a fiscal challenge for them as it is.
But I – what about the idea that you have a big, empty, dark building – and that even though you're not going to a Blue Jackets game, and that was the point made about City Center, is it was dead. Mm-hmm. And you don't have that feeling of life there anymore when it just sat there empty.
First of all, the games are only a small percentage of the available venue dates. Right. And we have created the same situation potentially in these arenas as we did with the shopping malls. City Center was killed in many ways because of some challenges getting down there, of course, but even more so by the fact we added multiple new malls, more accessible, wider selection. And I actually worked some extra jobs at City Center, and I thought it was incredible. But in studying malls and across the United States, what many of them are doing to survive, frankly, is they're complete. In fact, even in the coincidentally, the Wall Street Journal today describes that malls are reinventing themselves. Simon Malls has installed aquariums. They've done laser tag. They're all suffering from these issues. And similarly, in many cases with the arenas, the fact is they are they're a challenge to keep filled and generate income. But five times Columbus voters have said no. And I think it's undemocratic. And as Doug indicated, my concern today really falls more and more with some of these troubled areas of our city. And we do have absolute areas that are successful. But sadly, we have many areas that are highly at risk, where neighbors describe their fears, not just of the violence and the safety issues, but of being forgotten. And I think morally we have to consider that.
We have an email from Alan. He writes, the Dispatch reported that Mayor Coleman is using three full-time and two half-time police officers as chauffeurs and bodyguards. Will Mr. Smith continue this practice if he is elected?
Well, you know, you have to look at these things fairly. The mayor and I disagree on a lot of issues. The responsibility of the officers that work for him, of course, is the mayor's safety. Now, you could say arguably I have one advantage, that I am part of those people. After 33 years in law enforcement, a lot of things I can see doing for myself. I'm not terribly concerned about my personal safety. I'm certainly not a fool about it. But I would acknowledge you're going to have someone probably to be available to drive, or you're going to spend so much time parking. You know, truthfully, in that role, it's a very busy role, and it's really hard for people to comprehend how quickly the responsibilities escalate. I don't think I need quite that staff level, and I would like to minimize that because of the cost. But I think, quite honestly, it's unrealistic, even for myself, as much as I really bristle against someone driving me. I've watched the realities of it, and I think you have to be fair in these challenges, and you have to have someone to assist you.
Dwight, you're in Columbus. You are a supporter of Earl Smith. Welcome to the show.
Oh, welcome. I like creative ideas. This whole thing about crime, the level of sophistication that I have observed on the west and the south side of town, these criminals are using scanners to avoid arrest. That's one thing I like to know. How will he counter that, and will he use strategic response more to deal with these kind of issues? My second question is...
No, Dwight, we're just keeping them to one question because we have a lot of people waiting in line. So, Earl Smith, you want to respond?
Well, let me expand. I think Dwight's referring to the Strategic Response Bureau, which is a almost like a subset of the police department, and was designed to be very limber and flexible in dealing with various community issues. Yes. In fact, I was part of that when it was originally established. I was the fellow who did the original training for the community liaison officers, and I think it has a great role to play in the city. Obviously, currently, I don't know their precise application, how they're being used. Can we expand that? But I would agree with what I believe Dwight is saying, and I think it's a valuable resource. In regard to criminals, you know, people make a mistake if they assume they're stupid. They are anything but stupid. And you're right. They'll use any technological tool, any tool available to get around law enforcement officers. And again, the radio systems today are a little more sophisticated and they are a little harder to track. I would literally have to talk to our radio technicians, the folks that install those systems and currently operate with them, to know precisely how accessible they are to criminals. But yes, the use of monitors is not a new experience.
Thanks, Dwight, for that call. Emmanuel in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Emmanuel. I guess you're not a supporter or an opponent. You're not a voter in Columbus, but appreciate your voice.
Yeah, what I want to ask Al is, you know, we have heard about his own criticism about Mayor Coleman's idea for an arena district. Mm-hmm. What is his own idea in making that area more valuable if the Blue Jacket is out?
Okay, so what would you do if the Blue Jackets do leave because the arena isn't?
Well, I think part
stable.
Of it is this is a it's a market-driven project. In other words, when they built the arena, that was done without voter dollars because of the voters' rejection of using our tax dollars for the arena. The reality is what we're talking about is a voter-subsidized private equity business or a privately owned business. And I really question whether or not the city of Columbus, or for that matter any governmental agency, should be in the business of subsidizing selectively certain businesses. I have a lot of friends that own businesses, large businesses as well as small, and the commonly heard comment is, no one reaches out to support me. I have to make it or break it on my own.
Okay, thanks for that call, Emmanuel. And Chris in Columbus, you're undecided. Welcome to the show.
How are you doing today?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. I have a question for Candidate Smith. Sir, you and the mayor both said that you are against Issue 2. Can you tell me what it is about the issue that you do not agree with?
Well, I think the thing that I don't hear as much, and of course we hear about the insurance issues and other things, and I can only share in terms of safety forces. I know a lot of firefighters and police officers, and they have certainly communicated to me they know they're going to have to play an active role to ensure the city is viable fiscally. But what I don't hear as many discussions about, and is my greater concern, is that in the past, the process of promotions and assignments was determined internally within the organization, within the Division of Police or Division of Fire. This essentially guts that process and permits, for better or for worse, promotions and assignments being determined at a level outside of the police department, a political level. That concerns me. I have been on long enough, or was on long enough, to remember the days when an officer stopped the wrong politician or the family member and issued a ticket. They could absolutely count on hearing about it. And in fact, it was not impossible to change someone's assignment and the hours they worked in the middle of a shift. So. And then finally, the reality is that mistakes are made in government. That's including in law enforcement, firefighters, whatever it might be. It's important to have a voice that the public can hear that can give raised issues so that we are aware of concerns in our ability to provide particularly safety services to the general public, but also in general. When that voice is silenced and effectively, it would be I think we need to be able to have discussions about everything from equipment to, for instance, use of tasers in the community. That can be a very emotional debate. The use of the Strategic Response Bureau, we could eliminate it to restaff other areas. The level of staffing currently in investigative bureaus. All these kinds of things would be silenced in terms of discussions involving the community, and I think that's highly problematic. So while the fiscal issues are certainly part of it, I think there are greater concerns.
Thanks a lot for that call. Columbus City Council slapped a six-month ban on new storefront gambling businesses, or so-called internet cafes, where patrons buy a prepaid card and use it to play games of chance on slot machine-like operations. What do you think about that?
Well, I am no expert in that area, and I'm not a gambler, quite frankly. On the surface, I'm not a fan of it. Unfortunately, it seems to me oftentimes these target people who are least financially able to afford losing their money in that fashion. I would certainly have to research it further to really give you a solid perspective, but my instinctual feeling is I'm no fan. I'm not a fan, for that matter, of the state lottery either. I think it really takes advantage of people and their hope and their fears in a fashion that I think is not appropriate.
Earl Smith, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's Earl Smith. He's a Republican candidate for Columbus mayor. Coming up, the Democratic candidate and incumbent Columbus mayor, Mike Coleman. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Since 2006, 40,000 people have been murdered in Mexico as drug cartels battle each other and the Mexican military. On the next Fresh Air, we hear from journalist Yoan Grillo. He spent 10 years covering the conflict, speaking with government officials, American agents, drug traffickers, and victims of the violence. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes, starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. And join us tomorrow morning for All Sides with Ann Fisher at 11 o'clock for the history and psychology of our fascination with monsters. That's All Sides with Ann Fisher tomorrow morning at 11.
Support for WOSU comes from Thrifty Airport Valet Parking, taking business and leisure travelers in their cars to curbside check-in at Port Columbus, 614-237-5800 or thriftyparking.com.
You can get access to our station anytime online. Hear local and national news all day, every day, from the convenience of your computer or mobile device. Listen to 89.7 NPR News anytime at WOSU.org. Cloudy skies today with a chance of rain, a high of 67 degrees. Rain likely tonight, a low of 46. Expect rain for Thursday and a high of 49 degrees. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We just concluded a conversation with Earl Smith, the Republican candidate for Columbus mayor. Joining us now is his incumbent opponent, Democrat Mike Coleman, now seeking an unprecedented fourth term as mayor of Columbus. Prior to becoming mayor, Mike Coleman, a lawyer, served as president of Columbus City Council from January 1997 to November 1999 and as a council member from February 1992 to December 1999. We welcome him to the show, Mayor Coleman.
Good morning, Ann. How are you?
Very well, thanks. It's a radio show. We have sound. Earl Smith hasn't taken a definitive position on the recently enacted law allowing concealed weapons in bars. Let's listen to what he says.
Criminals have never hesitated to carry weapons. That's why we call them criminals. They do not follow societal rules, regardless of whether it's a bar, a park.
So he says that criminals are the problem, not law-abiding citizens who happen to be carrying concealed weapons that into places that happen to be bars or restaurants. You're the Ohio chairman of Mayors Against Illegal Guns. And why have you taken such a strong stand on this issue?
There's too many guns that are made available to people who use them illegally. And I am a strong opponent to concealed weapons in bars, concealed weapons in public parks, and concealed weapons in restaurants. I also believe that there is a need for mandatory background checks for gun shows. Now, the state legislature has passed these laws to allow all these things. Yet, you can't carry a concealed weapon in the halls of the state capitol.
And maybe soon... Or on the grounds.
Or on the grounds. They say, well, we don't want them in our place. But it's okay to take them in parks where children play. It's okay to take them in bars where people drink. And I just strongly believe that when you mix alcohol with guns, frankly, that's a toxic mix that is of great concern to me.
But you're not supposed to drink if you're carrying a concealed weapon in a bar.
I know it. You're not supposed to drink and drive.
614-292-8513. That's the number to call if you want to talk to Mayor Mike Coleman. We are devoting the hour to the mayor's race this year. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Mayor Coleman, your challenger, Earl Smith, says that some of the crime rate in Columbus is a result of an understaffed police force. Let's listen to what Earl Smith says.
Across the board, they have indicated to me that they are short-staffed, and worse than that, we're taking our civilian employees out, so now police officers are doing clerical work. The people that are sworn to do law enforcement, the people that you need in your neighborhoods, that you need in the investigative units, are literally clerking.
Do you agree or do you disagree that the police are understaffed right now?
I would love to hire more police. In fact, we have. Other cities are laying police officers off. Cities are laying off firefighters. I think Lancaster, just this very day, is laying off a number of their firefighters. Cleveland, Toledo, Cincinnati, others all over the state and the country are laying off police officers. On the other hand, in Columbus, during my term in office, we've hired 801 police officers. And the police force is actually larger today than when I took office, larger by the end of the year than when I took office, despite the fact that we've gone through two major recessions in our community, and despite the fact that we've had an issue called drop that has impacted when police officers are required to retire. Yeah, I'd like to have more police officers. We're trying to find ways to do that. But the fact is that we have hired a lot of them, and our police force is stronger and more people than we have had when I first started.
Earl Smith says he's against using public money to fund the Blue Jackets team to fund to buy a nationwide arena. Let's hear.
Five times voters in Columbus said, do not take our tax money and spend it on the arena. It is utterly undemocratic and I think, frankly, unethical.
And the issue isn't the idea of buying the arena. It's the idea of doing it without voter support.
Well, I think he said both. I've heard him said both. Say both things, that he doesn't support it in either way. And you've pointed it out, and others have pointed out, he originally supported it.
Right.
But having said that, the difference between us is this. I believe that's the right thing to do, that we need to protect those jobs that are there and do this. Now, having said that, what went before the voters years ago each time was a tax increase. That's what the public voted on. This is not a tax increase. These are casino revenues that are anticipated to be collected from around the state that are provided to cities all over the state. At some point, these cities around the state will decide how to spend those dollars. And it's like appropriation of a budget. We adopt a budget every year in city government. We do not have a vote on that budget every year in city government. If we did, I think government would stop because we couldn't spend any money until there was a vote. So that's what I, you know, suggest that he's proposing.
The idea of what the revenue is coming from, though, if it wasn't going to go to purchase the arena, it would be going into the general fund. It wouldn't be a separate pile of money otherwise.
Well, it isn't in the general fund.
Because there is
that's right.
There is no revenue yet. But if there were revenue.
And two-thirds of it will go into the general fund. One-third of it will go to this effort to acquire the arena. Now, having said that, this is a four-party arrangement. This is not just the city of Columbus. Some people seem to forget that. This is a four-party arrangement that includes the county. It includes state government. And it includes the private sector. All four have made contributions towards this effort, both bipartisan and multi-jurisdictional, including the private sector.
We have a couple emails regarding this issue. One from Beth on the north side. She says, Coleman wants to buy the arena to keep it from becoming an empty building, yet it's okay for Columbia Gas to move from their big building and take up an arena parking lot and build a new building, leaving a huge empty building in another location, as well as taking up vital parking. So there's the shell game scenario.
Yes, I understand what she's saying on that. The fact of the matter is that the choice was between Columbia Gas moving outside the city of Columbus or moving into the arena district and taking those jobs with them. And I wanted those 500, 800, whatever number, 200 number of jobs to stay in the city of Columbus. That's number one. Number two, the location from which they're moving to, I believe, will be, it's a good site. And I believe it's a great site for residential or office. And is right there on the side of Mile. So the idea of it becoming a vacant and abandoned, I don't think is a very likely idea. I think it will be filled up rather rapidly. It's an important site, and I think some company will, or residential or office use will occur at that site.
An email from Kim. If Mayor Coleman is so concerned with the arena district losing jobs, why didn't he do something to help the brewery district survive when the arena district opened? So many businesses closed, including wonderful old established businesses like Greystone Winery and Hand Keys Restaurant.
Well, we are doing things in the brewery district. The brewery district happens to be the place where Kroger's established. Kroger's wasn't there before I became mayor. Now it is there. And now there is the Shadow Box, the entertainment venue that is located there. Brewery District is on its way back. So to say nothing's happening to Brewery District, frankly, is not a truthful statement.
Dave and Bexley, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. You support Mayor Coleman.
I support good politics. I support good mayors. I think Mayor Coleman's made an effort. I think we could have done a lot worse. But what I really support is good planning, and I'd like to know how Columbus is going to move forward with more progressive planning strategies involving neighborhoods, getting neighborhoods involved in more democratic approaches toward goals and objectives that promote what neighborhoods feel are important, and getting more planners out there and just creating a strategy rather than just randomness, which I think Columbus is involved in a lot of random development, sprawl and traffic problems are the result. So I think that it's difficult to put this in one question, but I think, does the mayor support what I would consider democratic planning and neighborhood planning?
Yes. And let me give you some examples where we're doing that right now in many neighborhoods. Let me point to the King Lincoln District, where the Ohio State University, CMHA, the City of Columbus, and others have come together to put together a comprehensive strategy on the Near East Side to bring that area back. It is coming together in a very productive way. Citizens are engaged in it. And the organization that was established is called PACT. And I can't remember what PACT stands for, but the idea is everybody's coming together. On the south side of Columbus, just this past summer, there's a part of the south side that is struggling very, very much. So what we're trying to do there is establish what I call the South Side Collaborative. The City of Columbus is taking control of the old South Side Settlement House. And we are building a clinic as well, a health clinic as well. And we're reserving some land where it used to be the old Schottenstein site. And we want to reserve that for some retail opportunities there as well, and building some housing in the area as well. But in this area of the South Side, the issue is this. There's many issues. One is very high unemployment. Two is very high poverty rate. Three is one in five houses is vacant and abandoned. Four is 40%, about 40% of the population of residents that live in the area don't have a high school education. And the needs of this area are very deep and massive. So what we're trying to do right now as we speak is develop what I call the South Side Collaborative, which would include human service agencies, private business, individuals, and residents to develop a comprehensive strategy to help bring that area back. And I'm very troubled about what could happen if we don't bring this South Side area back. So that's another area. Franklinton is another area that we're working on and looking at. So we've done this in the north side of Columbus. When it came to when the Northland Mall went down, we invested millions of dollars along the roadway. We brought the community together and we developed a strategy. And we've done it in other parts of the city. In the Linden area, for example, we've done it. We're developing a strategy in the Wineland Park area. The Wineland Park area, the Ohio State University, Chase Bank, along with many other organizations, have come together to develop a Wineland Park Collaborative. Now Wineland Park is starting to come back. The City of Columbus is investing millions of dollars in new housing, new opportunities, a police substation, along with many other things, safety cameras in the neighborhood, all these things with a strategy to create jobs, address health care issues, address employment issues, all at the same time. So if you're interested in participating in one or more of these efforts, I haven't even named them all, you're more than welcome. I'm a big believer in collaboration and a big believer in planning to have an impact in neighborhoods.
Thanks, Dave. Doug in Columbus, we'll turn back to the Arena District issue briefly.
Yes, and Mayor Coleman, I'm furious about this bailout for the Pizzuti's and the Wolfs and the Nationwide during a time of austerity. And just the way the whole thing went down, you know, the deals announced the next day, you know, all the political leaders pretty much come out and approve of it. There was not much no time for discussion. It was just a done deal. And I really think the city's going to have, you know, a trash burning plant liability down the road, because the Blue Jackets, they just don't get very good attendance. and some other owner is going to come in down the future and say, give us another bailout or we leave. And, you know, people aren't going to go for it. And then what's going to and you know how Earth Day moved the Colts back, you know, from Baltimore to Indy.
Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what Mayor has to say. I don't want to cut you off, but we're running out of time.
There's not much discussion about this in the city. And
yeah. Well, we've been talking about it on this show. And we have been talking about it. So I want to let the mayor respond. It's just that we're running
back to the voters.
Go back to the voters. Okay, okay, Doug. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
I appreciate your concern, and I think the reason why it's gotten so much attention lately is because we actually did something. We've actually been talking about this for 2 years, very publicly. Not exactly what would be the specific deal. But there's been talk about this for a very long time. Now, granted, even I did not know what would be the exact deal and what would exactly support. But I have been very public, and many others have been very public, about the need to protect these jobs. And frankly, in my opinion, this is not about hockey. And I know there's a lot of hockey fans out there. You know, frankly, I don't know much about hockey, but I do know a lot about.
They won last night.
They won last night. I'm happy for them, and you know, I want to see them win more. Go Blue Jackets! However, in my opinion, this is not about hockey. This is more about economic development, and I have been the mayor through times where I have seen major, important buildings that were that lied vacant and abandoned. And it impacts the economic vibrancy and jobs of the entire area. An example is City Center. Now, the reason why City Center, everybody, you know, nobody debates what happened there. It just happened. But the other part of that, City Center could have been a building that it would take another 20 years for it to get reused in some productive way. Maybe 50 years, maybe never. And what I saw here was a situation that I've lived through as mayor before, a city center that was vacant and abandoned, and then Lazarus, which turned vacant and abandoned. We had to take significant public action to address it, and that might have been less expensive if we had tried to do something up front before and thinking about it long term. And in this situation, what we have is a potential of an arena that could also be vacated and abandoned one day. And I'm thinking ahead 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, if it were to become vacant and abandoned, where citizens would say, Mayor, I'm angry. Well, why are you angry? Well, why'd you let that arena building turn vacant and abandoned? We had a chance to do something about it. We had a chance to do something about it. And I think in the long term, it is in the best interest of our city and our citizens to protect those jobs, to deal with it now rather than deal with it later. And dealing with it later is a much more expensive proposition and a lot of pain and suffering along the way. And in addition, this is not a tax increase. That's what the public voted against in the past. This is not a tax increase. This is the use of casino dollars that are anticipated to come into the city at some point in time.
Mayor Mike Coleman, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Ann. And I got an idea for you. That the next time you have candidates here, we should be asking the questions of the press.
Instead of
the other way around.
Dream on. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.